Today we have the privilege to celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Certainly, the doctrine of God is at the foundation of our beliefs, from which all other beliefs come from. And so it's important for us to get the doctrine or dogma right about God. But how do we know about this dogma of faith? It's been revealed by God. We place our trust in another person based on the fact that what they have revealed about himself or herself is a true reflection of their identity. And certainly it's a devastating feeling when we realize someone has deceived us about their identity. But God can always be trusted. He will never deceive us. And the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ is unambiguously clear. Be patient with me as I walk through this. Jesus eternally exists. Jesus said that he is one with God the Father. Jesus was sent by the Father into the world to heal the wounds of sin, division, and death in the human race. After accomplishing that phase of his mission, before he ascends into heaven, Jesus said to his disciples that he would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to the church in his name. God the Father eternally exists. God the Son eternally exists. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and God the Son. And the bond of life and love between them. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit eternally exists. The reason why we know that God is one God in three distinct persons, but sharing the same nature or substance of divinity, is because that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to us. And with due respect to theology and theologians writing pages and pages about the Trinity, the main reason we believe that God is a Trinity of persons sharing one nature or substance is because of that revelation. And as Jesus said in the gospel reading, the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth to be able to articulate how God is one, yet three persons. Because you remember that one of the reasons why Jesus was crucified is because fellow Jews thought he was blaspheming when he said, "The Father and I are one." But there were other Jews who decided to believe Jesus, even though they did not totally understand what he was talking about at first. And so, guided by the Holy Spirit, the church uses the language of persons to make it clear that each, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinct. They are not modes of being, for instance. There's a heresy called modalism that existed in the early church, which said that, okay, God is one, so he appeared as the Father when he created the world. Then he morphed into the Son when it was time to redeem the human race. And then he morphed into the Holy Spirit during the life of the church. And that was declared to be a heresy, meaning the wrong thing to talk about how God exists. Unfortunately, the heresy came back again in the early Pentecostal movement, which split over the issue. Some Pentecostals claimed that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And the movement split over that because others wanted to maintain the Trinitarian doctrine because they knew that the modalist doctrine was not doctrine at all, but a heresy. You'll find that among apostolic Pentecostals who only baptize in the name of Jesus, and they claim that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are just titles. But that's a novel teaching that only exists since the 1900s, when the Holy Spirit had already guided the church in AD 33 and following, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three distinct persons. We also have to be careful in terms of not giving the appearance that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are parts of the Godhead. I almost got in trouble yesterday with some of the Irish, and then could be with Nigerians too, because St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland and Nigeria, but he belongs to all of us. And he certainly preached the Orthodox faith that there is one God and three persons sharing one nature, but he used the shamrock to illustrate that. But some people can misuse something like the shamrock to say, well, look, there are three parts to the shamrock. And then they would be able to say that, well, God the Father is one third of the Godhead, and God the Son is one third of the Godhead, and God the Holy Spirit is one third of the Godhead. Just like some people can take my homilies out of context, some people can take St. Patrick and the shamrock out of context. But God the Father is 100% God. God the Son is 100% God and 100% human, without sin, after he came to share in our humanity. God the Holy Spirit is 100% God, and yet there is one God in three persons. And we will not know everything about this mystery of faith because we are not God. However, God has revealed everything that we need to know, love, and serve God. So trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed. Don't try to use things like, well, water is liquid, ice, and vapor. No, that's modalism again. Let's just take what the Lord Jesus said, because either Jesus is a liar or Jesus has told the truth. And I suspect you've come to Holy Mass today and you're watching via the live stream because you believe Jesus has told the truth about who God is. And we accept the mystery of another human being who has chosen to love us, allowing that mystery to motivate us to draw closer to them. And if that is the case in relating with another human being, how much more is it true in relating with our God? God is the very source of our life and wants to share his life and love with us. So that's the second thing I want us to remember about this solemnity today. Why did God choose to reveal himself to us? Because God wants to be in a relationship with us. God wants to be known. God wants to be loved. Now, knowing God as God, that's kind of a strange statement. God wants to be loved. God is God. God does not need anyone. God needs nothing. In fact, the psalmist said today from Psalm 8, who are we as human beings that God wants to relate to us? But he does. He is love. We read in the first letter of St. John, he wants to share life and love with us. So it's important to get the doctrine or the dogma right about the Trinity. But what does it mean for us to believe in that? Not only the revelation of God, But who are we in relationship with God? For believing in God, the Trinity, one God in three persons, is not just an intellectual assent to the revelation of God. It leads to intentional actions through our relationship with God. We're beloved children of God the Father. God the Father created the world and everything in it, including us, through God the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're beloved children of God the Father. Before we could ever know about God or love God, God had already made a decision to love us, and he will never take it back. And therefore, as I've said often, but people need to hear it often, we can never earn God's love. We can never lose God's love. Before we wanted anyone else to love or like us, God had already decided to love us. We're people of eternal significance. That's not an arrogant statement. That's not against humility. Humility does not mean to debase ourselves, to humiliate ourselves. Humility recognizes who we really are. And as we acknowledge who we really are, we give the credit to God. And so we're beloved children of God the Father. But we have not always acted as if we were his beloved children. In loving God, trust is necessary. And we have not always trusted his directions for living. And so, when the first human beings distrusted God, fellowship with the very source of life was broken. But because God is love and has made a commitment to love us that will never cease, God the Son was sent by God the Father into the world for a mission to reconcile us back to God. And he was empowered by God the Holy Spirit to do it. Not only are we beloved children of God, we're beloved disciples of God the Son. We read the gospel from John today, the fourth gospel. And John referred to himself as the beloved disciple, which was unique among the gospels. And it began when the passion narrative of the Lord began. And John wrote, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, about the depth of Jesus' love for all of us. And so John knew he was a beloved disciple. And he wasn't talking about an exclusive relationship. He wanted to encourage all readers to see that they are beloved disciples of the Lord too, when they respond to his invitation to follow him within his church. And so beloved disciples of God the Son want to follow Jesus' teaching and example, for they know that is the path by which we can be restored to our true identity, that we can grow in the depth of loving God and make that our motivation to do what is right, what is just, what is wise, what is truly loving. We want to know how to love and to be loved. Read about the teaching and example of Christ in the Gospels. Consider it in light of the teaching of the church, which is based on the sacred scripture. And then we help one another to live it out. Even if we fall, we believe in the teaching of Christ, who never fell, but who died for our sins to be forgiven. We follow the teaching of Christ by saying that we do not give up. but that we ask for God's mercy, we accept his forgiveness, and we move forward on the path with him. For there will never be a time, from Jesus' perspective, that we would not be one of his beloved disciples. And yes, we continue to be significant in his eyes, so that even if one disciple went astray and 99% of the other disciples decided to follow him, he would be concerned for that one person who went astray and would reach out to him or her to draw them back to him. We're beloved children of God the Father. We are eternally significant in the presence of God. We are beloved disciples of God the Son. We follow his teaching and example so that we can live according to our true identity. But we're also beloved temples of the Holy Spirit. We heard in the second reading today that in response to the grace or the help of God to first of all recognize that there is a God and that God wants to be in relationship with us, that same help from God, which we call grace, enables us to trust God, to place faith in God. And then what does St. Paul say at the end? That the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're beloved temples of God, the Holy Spirit. And again, not just the person of the Holy Spirit, the very Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are continuously poured into our lives. For again, God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father and the Spirit of God the Son and the bond of life and love that they share. And that bond of life and love will never be broken. And that bond is continuously poured into our lives. And so not only are we significant in the presence of God, not only are we being saved from anything that would lead us away from remembering that we are significant before God, but God makes us sacred. And again, that's not against humility. We acknowledge who we are because of what God has done. God has set us apart. I think we would be upset if we came into this church and we saw spray painting all over the walls of this church, and we saw the furniture being knocked down, the candles knocked over, the flowers, the altar defaced, and we would be highly upset because of the desecration that had happened in this place of worship that had been set apart for that purpose. And that not only do we have the spiritual presence of God, for instance, when we come to worship together, we have the very tangible presence of God under the appearance of bread, in this case in the tabernacle. We would be upset with the desecration. But when we choose not to appreciate our eternal significance through sin, we are desecrating ourselves. And when we invite others to sin with us, we're desecrating them. Because we are sacred. Because God has made us so. And our motivation to live according to the teaching and example of Christ is to respect the sacredness of who we are and all people. It's important to get the doctrine or dogma right about the Trinity, to accept the revelation of God, but it's also important to know why he revealed himself so that we can be in relationship with him and to know what that means. We are beloved children of God the Father. We are eternally significant before God. We are beloved disciples of God the Son. We follow his teaching and example so that we may maintain the dignity God has given to us. But when we have not, we can receive his mercy and be restored to it. Because we are beloved temples of God the Holy Spirit, we are sacred. How we live demonstrates what we believe. May God help us not only to see this solemnity as a day in which we give an intellectual assent to the revelation of God, but that we practice intentional actions in response to our relationship with God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And now let us profess our faith in the words of the